Welcome to the NC4 Podcast. We exist to know Christ and make him known. Discover the power of a connected life by listening to this message from God's Word.
I know I am the backup quarterback this morning. I know, but I have the ball and I'm going to throw it if you will promise to catch it. It's on you, okay? I'm ready. It's so you put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm ready. I'm going to catch the ball. I'm in the game. Amen. Okay. I heard you. Well, yes. Good morning. Dwayne sends his love. Honestly, it's the weirdest thing. We had a fantastic meeting yesterday morning. It was just a fantastic talking about evangelism and hearing the Holy Spirit. And it was so great. And I honestly have not seen him this sick to his stomach in years. I could not even tell you. So it was so weird. But I was carrying something already. So I believe that God has a word to deposit in each and every one of your hearts. Also in NC4 and in the church in this area. So could you just agree with me and pray? Lord, right now we come to you. We thank you for this amazing opportunity to come together, campuses to come together as the body and worship together this morning. We don't take it lightly, Lord. We're so thankful. And we, as we sit and still our thoughts, still our soul, the rushing of the week, we on this Sabbath make a choice to draw from the Spirit of God and make a demand that you would impart your grace, impart a word in due season this morning, and help us to know that all is well as we dwell. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I actually am going to be talking about some of the symbols of wells. Digging wells, redigging wells. And the title of my message this morning is All is Well as We Dwell. Can you just say that with me? This is going to be our little phrase. And I may just need to hear it. We're going to have fun, okay? It's interactive. I don't want anyone falling asleep on me this morning. So can you just say All is Well as We Dwell? I am well able. All is well as we dwell. I am well able. So we're going to talk about our well-being this morning, our spiritual well-being, and there might be a lot of puns. So how many of you want to, at the last of your days, want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, to get to there, we need to realize all is well as we dwell, I am well able, or there will be no well done. So we're going to talk about this well-being and well-care and what all of this means. But I want to start in our kind of theme scripture this morning in John 7. John 7, 37, and I'm reading in ESV. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," we know some translations say out of his what? "Yet belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Since the beginning of the year, our home church that we planted in 2007 in Denton, Texas, The Bridge, we've now transitioned that church onto a wonderful pastor. He's doing a wonderful job that's in our network, and we're leading the network church. By the way, if you want to see some of the cutest grandkids that you can see, you can just follow me, Beyond Chris, on Instagram, and there's all my story. You'll see. They're super, super, super cute. So you can see that. But the word for The Bridge, the church we planted this year, was dwell. And all I could see when they had this word up there, dwell, was well. Well kept sticking out at me. And I was just like, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because Twain would want me to make sure that you know about both of his new books that are available, God Speaks Sign Language and Here's Your Sign. God speaks through sign language. And whenever he starts speaking something, it's like you see it everywhere. If you're paying attention and notice, it starts just drawing. So all this year, all these things have been stirring. I've been seeing wells, stories about wells, every devotion about wells, redigging wells, all of these things, and digging in, Lord, what are you speaking? I read this amazing book. If you've never read this book, I'm sure Pastor Ian has this book probably on his amazing bookshelf. He has great books on his bookshelf. It's called Water from a Deep Well. Anyone ever heard it? Gerald Sitzer. Fantastic book. And Eugene Peterson wrote a foreword in it. And he says of the book that this book is like a bucket that goes down into the inheritance of the saints and brings up stories to fill our well with faith. How many of you know that we should have one as where we sit in history in the body of Christ? We should have an advantage over every generation before us that's come to such a time as this, that we can learn from all the saints that have gone before us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that we can draw from their wisdom. Yeah. That even in this area, in NC4, the things this body has seen God do, there is a rich well, and we're going to keep talking about that. But everywhere I looked, I think we have a picture here. Dwayne and I were privileged to kind of go on a pilgrimage in Italy. We retraced some of St. Francis's different places that he had encounters with God. And this was in outside of Spoleto on top of a mountain. I was like, Lord, you did it again. Look at that. Isn't that not the coolest well you've ever seen? Oh, if I could have a well in my garden, it would look just like this. This well literally goes back, I mean, thousands and thousands of years that St. Francis drew water from. That's still there in this retreat center. It is just such, so amazing. Psalm 46:4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There is a river that flows. Where did we just read that? Now in the new covenant, the new, Jesus said, where will the water flow from? Out of us. Out of us. We have so many amazing metaphors in the Bible. There's a fountain. David said, all my fountains are in you. We have spring metaphors. We have so many. Do you remember in the 90s in revival times? It was all the river. We danced in the river, right? We went ankle deep in the river. Then we went all the way in the, then we got, it's over my head, the river. All, everything was the river. Anybody remember the river days? We have so many great water songs and river songs and deep cries out to deep songs. But do you remember one of the great classics? All the way from Sunday school or children's church, Spring Up, O Well. How, you remember how it starts? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Where's McCungie? Can I just hear? It makes the lame to walk. Come on, Bethlehem. I've got a river of life flowing out. Then it's what's it say? Spring up. Make me whole. Ah. That line. Oh, give yourself a hand. You did so, so amazing. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Now, we did miss out on, as children's pastors, we added gush, 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 gush. From the Spring Up, Oh Well, gush, 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 gush. So, you know, you didn't know that, but that's okay. But I want my grandkids to know this song. There is so much theology and goodness and inheritance inside this song. Can we all make sure our children know this song, right? But where does it come from? Where does this song come from? Looking in Numbers 21, let's just look at it. Here we have Moses and the children of Israel. You know the story. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've had miracles. They're having to eat manna all the time. And then now they're thirsty. Have you noticed that little side note? Maybe you've seen memes or TikToks or videos of how millennials and Gen Zs, maybe not, I don't want to stereotype, but they seem to be fascinated with their water bottle. Okay, I'll tell on my family. My daughter, who is 28, when I asked her what she wanted for Christmas, it was a $50 water bottle. Yes, it's so important. And they carry around, I can't even, my arm, like I pull a strain of muscle when I'm lifting up this, my Stanley cup, because it's so heavy. They had to go back to my Walmart plastic cup. But, you know, water makes a difference. If you have ever been in a desert and no one knew it any more than the children of Israel who are complaining and griping and we've come all this way and Moses, why are we even following you? And we get to Numbers 21 and look what he says. Actually, you may see in your Bible, some commentaries, Bibles at the top say the song of the well. And 21 verse 16 says, and from there they continued to Beer. That is the well of which the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together so that I may give them water. Then Israel sang this song. Are you ready? Spring up, O well. Gush, 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 gush. But the Bible says this, spring up, O well, sing to it. Spring up, O well, sing to it. And then it says, the well that the princes made and the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staffs. Don't we use shovels and like digging instruments of labor to dig wells? Not whales. I know my southern just slipped in right there. These kind of wells, these spiritual wells, we're going to have to sing to them and have some authority. And okay, we're just going to be curious about that. Take a little note right there. Spring up a well. One more time. Say, I'm well able. This, after we got to go through Italy, we ended up in Paris and I was so excited that I love gardens. I'm a gardener. I love being outside. And I couldn't wait to see one of the most famous gardens in all the world in Versailles and all of the fountains. This is an ancient picture of when King Louis XIV, who thought he was a god, made all of these fountains for his majesty. At one time, the eighth wonder of the world had to pump water up out of the river uphill to make all of these fountains, 1,500 fountains at one point. Today, there's only 50 fountains that are still in use. But we see images like this. And when I researched, and let's go to the next one. This is today. This is what I was expecting. These amazing fountains, just water gushing. And I couldn't wait to see the splendor and the wonder of these now 50 fountains. But this is what I saw. Let's go to the next one. Yeah, it's so sad. Fountains with no flow, which ends up being a statue. Green, murky water, not living water, murky water. So we were just on this. We were like, okay, now, because it's hard to sustain, water's expensive. Pumping water's expensive. So they've had to make them on a rotation, unless you're there for a big show or a big event. Used to, the king would walk by and the whistle would blow and they'd turn that fountain on. But when I walked by, no one turned a fountain on. So I was looking at all the guys saying, which fountain's going? And they would, this huge map, and our time was running out, and I was like, I want to see a fountain, a flowing, not a green murky statue. You know, where can I go? And so I dragged my husband along to the next place that was supposed to have a fountain that was going, and still, statue. We finally, it is hilarious. I have a video that I could put it on my social media. It is so funny, but I don't want to take the time. But we were with British friends and we get up at the top. No, I mean, this is all. And my opinion of Versailles is like, this is so hyped up. I mean, these are fountains with no flow. I've just seen statues and bushes. And we get up to the top and look back down, and it is like a circus of water spraying everywhere, going everywhere. And my British friends are going, oh, you've got to be joking. I know my British is really bad, but you've got to be joking. We just walked up here and the fountain was going for no one. A display of all of this energy for no one. Fountains with no flow. And right there, I was like, Lord, this is a sign, isn't it? And I just started like this lament in me, this intercession in me of, Lord, let the American church not be a fountain with no flow. That when we display your goodness, no one's watching, or we're doing it where no one can see, because that's safer. And I started praying and digging in. And this message came out of that. We don't want to be a fountain with no flow. So in our time, I'm going to just give you quick five lessons in well care. Five lessons in well care. What is well care in health, in our health? That is the preemptive practices, proactive practices that maintain and improve our overall health. So well care, you are the well that the living water comes out of. We have to know how to have well care for our spiritual well-being. And the first one, number one, is we have to discover the source. Know the source. Now, quickly, we could go in and we can go ahead to our next table. We could do a 6-week Bible study on just this. So we don't have time this morning to go in, but I'm going to just look at these really quickly. But in the Bible, wells symbolize some really important things in Scripture. Maybe you can just take a picture of it and you can look these up during the week. But first of all, wells symbolize promise, covenant, inheritance. We see with Abraham, they say even today that you can go and visit one of Abraham's wells that is still there today. It was a sign of covenant and inheritance. And then Isaac, as he redug wells that the Philistines stole, we're going to talk more about that in just a minute, but wells are a sign of inheritance. Also, they're a sign of provision. In Genesis 21 there, remember Rahab, that God even saw, Hagar, when she's there, she needed that gallon water bottle right there. But her and Ishmael about to thirst to death, and God shows her where the well was. The provision and the substance, the well was there all along, but she couldn't see it. Wells are a symbol of provision. They're a symbol of his presence. In John 4, we see the beautiful story of Jesus and the woman at the well that has this divine encounter and revelation of who Jesus is. And then, this is so beautiful, wells are a symbol of gathering people. Just like I read to you a minute ago in Numbers, where God said, gather the people. Rebecca, when she was at the well, she was serving and gathered, they found people, she was there pouring out and ministering to Abraham's servant, and she be, actually stepped into her own destiny by serving at the well. So it is a picture of shared community and hospitality. There's so much in there that we don't have time to look at, but I want to make sure we're all on board with this anatomy of what a well looks like. So let's look at this slide. Jesus said that out of our heart, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is kind of an example of some common wells that we see that you have to drill down to get to that groundwater, that artesian, that spring that is down below that you have to dig down underneath to get to that living water. But then there has to be the well, the pump, the bucket, whatever mechanism that's being used to draw up the life, to draw up the water, to draw up and hold and then disperse this living water. And that is how you can see we are the well. Your heart, your soul, your belly in here shall flow out living water. But we have to participate and know how to participate to draw it out. So awesome. But then we also have this scripture in Jeremiah that shows us what a cistern is. So let's look real quick at a cistern. And I may have gone ahead just, there we go. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people have committed two sins. Do you want to know what they are? I want to know what they are. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns. Excuse me. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now look at the difference here. A cistern is not connected to anything down below with any depth or sustainable substance. It is dependent on the rain that is coming down and being collected. So what happens in seasons of drought? It is just dependent on circumstance, on seasons. Is that how, as Christians, we're called to live? But how many of us know that many times we live out of abundant, oh, it's a good day. I feel the rain of God. Do you feel the rain? I feel the rain. Oh, it is the manifest presence of God and I'm storing it up and I've got it all right here. And then harder times come, droughter, drier, harder. And then we don't feel that. We don't feel goosebumps. We don't feel, and if we are not connected corporately and relationally in our own personal relationship with Jesus down to the living water, it's not sustainable. And we look at living off of the next Netflix series or the next hit or the next whatever it is that's going to get me through. And God said that breaks his heart because he's called us to live. So we need to know this source. Now, this is so beautiful. And let's just go back. And I think we have this slide of John 7 that I opened with, John 7:37. On that day, and it says here, we know it. This must be important. John 7:37, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day. What does that mean? Here they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, that actually was a symbol and a reflection of God delivering the children of Israel from Egypt and providing time after time after time. But on the last day of the feast, now get this, talking about signs from God, on the last day, the priest would get water from the pool and everyone would start singing and celebrating and he would go and pour the water out on the altar. That's when Jesus steps up and says, If anyone thirsts, I will give him living water. All of that context makes a difference, doesn't it? Oh, it's so, so beautiful. The source of living water. We want to be connected to that source of Jesus. But number two, we can't just dream about it or say it's there. We need to get it. We need to drink it. In John 7, it says, you shall drink. Here in Isaiah 12:3, it says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, you. God isn't going to just keep giving us a dropper like a little baby bird. He's called us to participate. Remember, sing to it. Spring up, oh well, sing to it. Draw up. And I love this one in Proverbs 25. It says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Do you know we can even draw out wisdom from other people? We can draw out testimony, draw out anointing, draw out the things that they've learned when we notice and we stop just talking about ourselves, but actually notice, I noticed you lost your job and God gave you another job. Tell me about that because I need a new job. Pray for me. A man of wisdom draws out that water. But we participate. How do we participate it with it? You know, one of the sayings of the church in different places is that it can be a mile wide and an inch thick, an inch deep. We are called to live so much deeper with joy that isn't shifted like a cistern and dependent on the economy and the interest rate. And if my family is all loving me and thinks I'm wonderful or all of these things, there is a deeper well. And actually, John Eldridge talks about this in the levels of our being. And if you think back to that, the anatomy of a well, first there's the shallowness of ourselves of that's just small talk. And a lot of times that's just what we do with God. Hey, God, give me a good day. Yay, God, boo, devil. You know, we go on. Small talk, shallow, bleh, you know, no depth. But then sometimes we get a little deeper, and it's the midlands of the well. You know, and that's where, you know, the cares of life. And we're like, okay, Jesus, I need you to give me gas. I need you to pay my electric bill. Lord, I need you to help me with this. And the cares of life right there. But there is a deeper dwelling that Ephesians talks about that we just experienced a minute ago, worshiping in the glory of God, where we sink down, we go deeper, we dwell. That word dwell in Ephesians talks about how we abide, we make our home in. It's like you're in a big comfy chair. You know when someone comes to your house and they're like sitting on the edge of the sofa and, you know, they won't like get comfortable and you can tell they're not very happy to be there and they won't sink in. But whenever someone gets in your big comfy chair and gets the blanket and they're like, oh, sinking in and getting cozy, you know, okay, they're here to stay for a while. It is one of the greatest joys if I could get one of my grandkids to come sit in my lap and snuggle down and just sit there and be with me, isn't it? Most of the time they're running around like a tornado, you know. So, but that's, isn't that what God thinks about us? That if we can be still and know that he is God and go deeper down into who we are in Christ, our inheritance in Christ with the saints, that we draw from the things that are eternal, that can never be stolen, that are sealed by the Holy Spirit, all of those things of life, abundant Zoe life in God, way down deep. But we have to draw it up. We have to be still. And I know that this church does a great job teaching on spiritual practices and how to dwell with God and all of those things. So pay attention, listen up, and remember, because as we honor and as we remember, we draw up that anointing. The slide may be a little bit back because I've went ahead, but really there are three different types, maybe more, but looking at it, of different wells that we could talk about. And we don't have time today, but I just encourage you to pray about it, to think about it. Our own personal well, but then the corporate well of the body here, the corporate well of even that you live in this area, of the corporate anointing of the well of the Moravian prayer movement, that people study and come here to do prayer walks and draw from all over the world. When you're familiar with something, you don't realize, wow, this is kind of a big deal. This actually spurred major revivals that are still impacting today. That well is actually right here. The corporate well of NC4, that for years and years of faithfulness has dug wells of serving the community, of teaching the word, of living by faith, of being spirit-led. That is a well that as a body you draw from. And then there's an ancient well, and that's where the book Waters from a Deep Well starts talking about the body of Christ and the well that we have from all of those that have gone before us, that we can draw wisdom and anointing and even inheritance from. As I was praying over this a few months ago, I remembered a vision I had had of my grandmother. My grandmother was half Kickapoo Indian, and she was very, on my dad's side, she was a very determined lady. She was, she had gone through so many hard things. My grandfather was an alcoholic, a functioning alcoholic, all of their marriage, and not an easy man to live with. And she got born again and filled with the Spirit, and she actually would go and pray with some Spirit-filled nuns out in Amarillo, where I'm from, and she was a very godly woman. And she held a well of missions in the world in her heart. She dug a well for the world in her heart and dreamed of getting to go. She took German. She's in Amarillo, Texas, taking German because she had a heart for Germany. Here she's a Native American Indian, had a heart for Germany, and she's learning German. And all I can remember on the way to school, she'd be playing her German tapes. And all I remember is, Ich bin noch ein bisschen müde, Hans will heute. And I probably just really butchered. That's all I remembered. But she would tell us how she was going to go to the world and God loved the world. And she never made it out of America. But when she, right before she died, I had this vision of her standing in a river and it was rushing by really fast. And she was beckoning me in just her really calm, peaceful way, smiling at me and beckoning me like, come, Chris, come follow me in this river. And I have been myself from this inheritance, I believe, of her prayers and her heart for the world. I've been preached in over 50 countries. The things she dreamed of, the things that she dug a well down to find, the anointing and power of God now flow out of my life. This is how a covenant promise God works. But amen. But let's go to number three. What wells do we need to redig? Where has, just like, and we don't have time, but you could look all in scripture, how the Philistines would come and fill the well up. They'd steal the well. And poor Isaac, he'd try this well, and no, they'd argue over that one. Then he'd try another one. Finally, God gave him a Rehoboth, and this was his well of plenty. But re-digging that well. This is so amazing. I'm telling you, the signs of God are everywhere when you pay attention. Last week, we took British friends to Waco, Texas, and I've been to Waco, Texas many, many times, but there is a Dr. Pepper Museum. Is there any Dr. Pepper fans? I know it's a Southern thing. I know. Thank you. My husband loves Dr. Pepper. Maybe he needs some right now. I don't know. But I wasn't really thrilled about going to the Dr. Pepper Museum, but I thought, and I was like, oh God, why don't I want to go? And I really felt like I'm going to see something there that's going to be amazing, and I'm going to repent that I didn't want to go. And I walk in to the back of the plant, and there is an ancient well, brick well, that they used to draw up from artesian springs underneath, that they would add the Dr. Pepper syrup. Did you know back then Dr. Pepper was, it's like 98% water. And the purer the water, the better it tasted. But guess what happened? The well started drying up because they needed to go deeper. Because of all of the supply and demand, that level and capacity of the well couldn't be sustained and needed to be drilled deeper, dug deeper, that they just decided to cover it up. So they started throwing trash. This is like 20, 25 feet down, maybe 30. It's beautiful. Brick. Trash. Broken bottles. Trash. All in. And back in the late 90s, it was all covered up with a cement slab. No one knew it was there for years until they started doing some other renovations and discovered there is a well under here. And they had Baylor students come in. How many of you know how our brokenness, all those broken bottles covering up the well, when disappointment, regret, even in church with people who are supposed to love us, cause brokenness, it can cause us to just keep adding more brokenness in our well, adding more trash, adding more disappointment, adding more regret. Until when we look in that well, when other people look in the well, they no longer see the living water. What do they see? Trash and brokenness. And the beauty of that picture was it took a body. They cleared out 41 barrels of broken bottles and trash till they got back down to the water. Which leads us to number four. After we dig, there is a time that we need to go deeper. We have to grow our capacity. And to sustain the place that God has called us to be. Don't you love that? We don't really understand it. We sing about it. Deep cries out to deep. Psalm 42:7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Deep calls to deep. Commentaries say that this verse could go, is cross-referenced back to Jonah. Isn't that interesting? Jonah 2:3, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. What does this mean? Whenever we have a gap, like Pastor Grubby, Pastor Jack gave us this word. Emptiness, desperation calls out our desperation, the deep within us, that God, I am just human. I need you. I need a miracle. I don't know how to help my relationship. I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I don't know which way to go. And that depth of your emptiness and your gap means the depth of God's grace. You have a new capacity and a reservoir. It's like pockets. inside that well start filling up of reservoirs of anointing. Who do you want to pray for you? Someone that has a faith and has a reservoir of healing because they've seen God move. They've seen God heal people from cancer. They've seen God reunite relationships. And they hold this after you dig deep and find God and encounter God and meet Him. You think your suffering has been for nothing. But like Romans says, whenever actually that character, that suffering can actually cause us to dig deeper. It can cause a new capacity in us. Whenever you go through grief, there's a new capacity in you to give compassion and kindness to other people because you know what it meant to you. Whenever you have received God's goodness through Him helping relieve your pain and your suffering and whatever, you have this anointing. You have this reservoir inside your well. And as a corporate body, NC4, there are so many reservoirs of anointing. And I believe even in this area, in this valley, there are reservoirs and wells of anointing waiting to be redug. There may be brokenness, and thank you, team, you can go ahead and start. There may be brokenness when you look in and you see it's been covered up, or maybe it has been fought over. Maybe it's been denied. But I believe in this season, it's time to redig, to dig deeper, so that number five, we can distribute the living water to the world. Would you just stand? We can water the world. Just like Jesus met the woman at the well. With love and truth. And pulled up living water. And I'm just going to end with this quick story to encourage you. But as I tell this quick story, what's God doing in you? What are you carrying today? What wells maybe of your dreams that you know God's called you to? Things God's called you to carry. Things God, you know God's called you to do, but maybe it was COVID. Maybe it was disappointment. Maybe you hit a brick wall. Whatever it is, maybe it's time to redig. Maybe you think your suffering or your pain is your affliction, but actually it's an invitation to go deeper, to know God and His provision in a new dimension that's going to, your brokenness is going to break the living water in a rushing, healing, amazing way that is going to water the world. Our daughter was born, like my husband was born, with a cleft lip and palate. Many of you know his testimony. Never supposed to talk. But our daughter, our oldest daughter, Kelsey, we prayed and prayed and prayed and believed that she would be healed, that she wouldn't have a cleft lip and a cleft palate. And I laid hands on my belly every day, praying and believing that. But when she was born, she came out and the doctor held her up and said, "Well, it looks like the devil wanted to give her a cleft palate, but God says it stops right here," and put his finger on her lip because it went up, her cleft went up her nose and then stopped. And in that moment, I was so gutted. God, I prayed, I believed. What? How has this happened? And then the doctor came and I was laying on the table. He came and showed me Kelsey's smile, and she smiled at me with her cleft. I know you think it's gas, but I swear it was God speaking to me through that sign of her smiling at me saying, "I've got this. Watch and see what I'm going to do." Miracle after miracle. We needed $1,000 that we did not have. We were so poor. We need $1,000 deductible for her surgery. Mysteriously, miraculously ends up in our mailbox. So Kelsey has heard these stories all of her life. Fast forward 30 years to now. Kelsey works at a hospital where moms are about to give birth to babies with ailments and cleft lips and cleft palates. And just the other day, a mom and a grandma were about, the mom was about, they knew from the sonogram the baby had a cleft lip. And Kelsey said, it's going to be okay. I had one, and God has worked so many amazing things in my life, and he can do it in yours too. The grandma jumps up, hugs her, and says, I need to take pictures of you. And got her phone out, and you know how grandmas are with their phones, you know, was just like right up in her face saying, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Why do I tell you that? I don't know the mystery. But I do know that it caused a deeper capacity inside of us to hold the goodness of God. That now we can draw up that water and water the world. We can draw up that goodness, that kindness, and share it with others. And NC4, you will too, in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, wherever we are, we pray you would redig ancient wells, redig corporate wells, redig wells of revelation, of encounter, wells of revival. Right now, wells of encounter for this generation, for this generation, for our children, by the move of your hand, by the move of your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the NC4 podcast. For more info, visit our website at nc4.org. We believe in the power of a connected life. If you prayed to give your life to Jesus today, we'd love to help you walk it out together. Just text the word Jesus to 610-816-6062.